Welcome, welcome to this happy Mitzvah Shabbos with Ellie present here. We're holding on Daf Nun Zayin of Aleph, and I've got holding on full and all your ships at sea. Hold on tight. The next case that we had in the Mishnah of Eilu Ksheros, though, was Nishtabu Ragleos, that even if the feet of the oaf were broken, it would be kosher. Ahut Sanadin Kuri Diasi Lekami de Rava, Vatke Rava Bitsumat Hagidim Ve'afshirim. There was a whole basket of these inkuri birds. Rashi brings a Chuvas HaGa'inim that says it's a black water bird that has white spots in its forehead, and he says that they are they're found around France as well in my city, in my town. I don't know what the reference is to, but in any event, Rava checked them. They had broken legs, and Rava checked them to see that the Tzomet HaGa'inim was all right, and we're going to get more details in the Tzomet later, but just to give you a sense of what's going on, the Tzomet HaGidim is a place in which all the tendons of the feet come together. No, this isn't any regular chicken. You'll notice at the end, actually it's a machlokas precisely where, but, I never know where to find things in this book. Where do you have this? I thought it was the chicken. Where is it? No, but it's not. No, it's not there. It's later in the sugya later because it comes out of Ayin Vav. Here it is. Okay, so on page 94, you take a look. Here's the polka, picture 4.9. This is a enlargement of picture 4.9. And here we're going to see later on in the Gemara that there's 16 different gidim, which are tendons of different types. And it's very difficult to pick out the 16 that we'll worry about when we get there. But in any event, he checked around this area to make sure that they weren't cut. Tzemes HaGidim is cut and you have a problem. It's called the Tzemes HaGidim because the gidim all come together and are joined at that spot.
The feet below it were broken.
Yeah, but that didn't matter. As long as the Tzemes HaGidim itself, it was the tendons don't have to be whole, but the place where they're mitchaber has to be whole. Are you going to be on time, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow morning to open? Because I won't be here, man. Ellie's going to be giving the daf. Would be okay? Yeah.
This is why we do need the list.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Who's sitting in the list anyway?
Oh! Oh, you were in the other room?
Yes.
Oh, we didn't even look. We thought that they were having their class in there.
We were waiting to figure out where you were going to go.
Because we're always going here. Sorry. So, Omer reviewed, Omer Rav. Shmutas Yad Bibehima Kshera. So first of all, we should know that there's no problem in the foreleg of an animal. All of the problems that we had were in the hind leg, which was the thigh. And a Shmutas Yerech Ba'of is Trefa, which makes a lot of sense, because after all, we said whatever is a Trefa Bibehima is Trefa Ba'of, and one of the cases that we had before and it was the Bukadat and the Shap Miduchte in our Shap Shmaitz, and that should be sufficient to so therefore the oaf as well. Shmutas Gaf Ba'of Trefa, and if you have a ripped Richie, right here would be a lovely place for you to sit. It puts me within arm's reach. I seem very reluctant. Do you want it? You prefer to sit there?
No.
You know, it's always ein ones. But we're hoping you did bring some drinks along.
Yeah, drank them on the way.
So, the interesting new thing, however, is that the equivalent of the foreleg in the behema, in the animal, would be the wing, of course, in the oaf, which is an adaptation of exactly the same bone system. So you would think that because there's no problem in a shmuta of a foreleg in an animal, there should be no problem of a shmuta in a wing of a bird, because it's the same thing. However, surprisingly, shmutas gav ba'of is treif. Now, according to Rashi, this fits beautifully because the gav is actually the shoulder. A smutas agaf would be a dislocated shoulder. However, not everybody agrees with Rashi, because the Gemara goes on to say, why is it a trefa? Chashin shemen mikvah hareya. We're afraid that maybe the lungs were punctured. The problem is that it's difficult to see how in the world the lung could have been punctured in a case of shmutas agaf. Let's take a look at the shgaf, according to Rashi. Here we have the lungs as they are on page 81. We have the lungs as they are underneath the ribcage. The gaf, according to Rashi, is this bone here, the foreleg bone, in other words, part of the wing that's attached. It's attached all the way at the part where the shoulder is, nowhere near the lungs. Now, how in the world could it possibly have punctured a lung to tear the gaf? Therefore, other shitas like that, Rashi learns that the gaf is the scapular bone, which is the place where the muscles, the chobah for the wings. And there, you don't have something that is similar by an animal, but by a bird, you have this specific thing that runs all the way down above the lungs, and indeed, if that's pulled out, so that could affect the lung. And here, we talked about before, that here he has a beautiful, beautiful analysis, this gentleman, Rabbi Lack, however you pronounce his name, with it. Munechol, which we mentioned earlier, that gives an explanation of Rashi's Shiva. And he suggests, let's take a look if we have his other pictures, 3.3. No, I don't know. But let's take a look at the end. I think yes. No, it doesn't help too much. Let's take a look at the end where he discusses this. I think he might have some pictures there. I know he definitely has some pictures. 0.87. Anyway, in any event, what he points out is the analysis of the lungs of the bird in a way that makes Rashi make sense. Yes, he does have pictures. If you take a look on page 184, if you take a look, you have an amazing system of respiration in a bird. A bird's lungs do not inhale, as we pointed out earlier. The only movement that draws lungs in and out of a bird's lungs that stay basically stationary are air sacs. These air sacs are enormous. They're thin membranes. They take up basically the entire body cavity. And in the air sac, a movement of air coming in and out of the air sacs holds air across the lungs that they function like the gills of a fish. They don't move in and out. But because of that, they can also be very tiny. The reason is that in order for lungs to expand and compress, there's a certain minimal size that you have to have for the air passage, which allows the expansion and contraction. Because of that, they're not efficient, because you can't get a very small airways. There's simply not enough time in each expansion to be able to get air through very small airways. Machenkin, if the lung is constantly exposed the way a gill is, and it's amazing that gills are able to pick up out of water enough oxygen, but that's the idea. The surface area of the bird's lungs is over 10 times per unit, over 10 times more surface area of capillary to for gas transfer than a mammal, which is astounding, because it's over 10 times more efficient. So it's a fascinating way of making do with a very tiny lung. So if, however, as we'll see in a moment, Rashi says that the way you can bodake a bird lung is by putting in a straw into the trachea and blowing. And if you hear air escaping, it means that there's a hole in the lung. The problem is that air could be escaping from any of those membranes. So apparently, if we're b'machadish, that Rashi holds that the membranes, the air sac membranes, are also part of the lung, now everything suddenly becomes clear. Because in an article, I believe in the 1980s, 1970s, it says that they found that the air sac actually invades the gut. So it enters into the bone itself. Like apparently the more area that's used for these things, the better, obviously the better the survival of the bird. And in a lot of different areas, it invades different, invades ribs. In fact, it's amazing. And therefore, if you rip off the gut from its place, indeed you make a hole in the lung, assuming that the air, that these membranes are part of the lung. So Rashi makes a great deal of sense. But yes, it doesn't make sense, because if that were the case, you should say the same thing about the ribs, where it invades the ribs, it makes a hole, right? So he brings another article. He's got these incredible articles, I think, from the late 80s, which points out that a hole in the air sac in the inside the body cavity does not hurt the bird very much, because the body cavity itself continues to act as an air sac. So therefore, there it wouldn't be a drapa. But where it's by the wing, it will open up the body cavity to the outside, and there it's going to destroy its function of bringing air in and out. And so the male over there would cause a drapa. Beautiful approach to Rashi. For centuries, nobody's really understood what Rashi is talking about. It's just amazing to be able to handle some of these issues. You can see that the picture is just astounding, the amount of... it's two separate functions. In other words, you have sacs that are bringing air in and out, and then you have the gas transfer area in the lung proper. That's a fantastic idea. There you go. Good. All right, so this makes a lot of sense then. Shmuel Amar, as Shmuel says, but instead of making up your mind that it's a trefa because of the chashash, why don't you just check the lung? And how would you do that? But as we said before, you put a straw into the trachea and you blow in to inflate the lung. V'chein am Rav Yochanan tibadek. Chizkiya amar. Chizkiya says, ein rea la'ok. There's no such thing, or at least that's what he seems to be saying, there's no such thing as a lung in a bird. Rav Yochanan says, what do you mean? There's no yeshua? Of course there's a lung. V'yeshna ke'alah shel veret ben hagapayim. Where you'll find this, it looks like a little rose petal between the wings, basically under the rib cage. Now, what does this give me when he said, "Ein rea la'ok"? He went with a less like, wow, he meant that doesn't have a lung. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, anybody who eats a chicken finds a lung. It's rather evident also. Take a look at the pictures of an open chicken. Not that I'll ever find it. Here we go. Right there on page 79. Look at that beautiful little chicken livers and chicken heart. There you are. Page 79. Yeah. There's a chicken cut up, and there's that lathe right there. How did he not see that lathe, Fiskia? So... did what Chizkiya mean is that, well, that's no lung in terms of if it's trephus. In other words, that lung is not considered to be a lung legabe dinam of nikvareya. But I thought Levi brings a brisa that says, Vatani Levi, trephot shemanu chachamim bivemaki negdan bo'ot, that anything that is a trephus in an animal is a trephus in a bird, if it has a similar organ. And yet, ralayam ot nishbarat malpapishalo nikav kum shomoach. And as we saw earlier, that a hole in the skull, even without destroying the cranial membrane, will be a trefa by a bird. So what did he mean? Maybe he meant ela ein lo, lo li nafel velo lechamer. The gabi that didn't have the fula of a bird, where somebody stepped on a bird, threw a bird onto a wall, or where it went into a fire and we're worried about the change in the colors, that over there... You don't have to look at the lung. My taima, why is that? It's because the rib cage of a bird is fascinatingly different than an animal's rib cage. The thickness of the ribs face inwards instead of outwards along the outside of the body, which provides a tremendous amount of protection for impact against the internal organs. And therefore, over here, it's very unlikely that a rea of a bird is going to be affected by these things. But wait a second. He couldn't have meant that, because then why would Rabbi Yochanan's response have been, no, yeshlo, it does have a lung. And yeshna kala shoveret bin agapayim, And I'll tell you where it is. It's between. We're not talking about whether it's there, right? We're talking about whether it has a din that you need to check it, Megabe Chimur and Nefula. So Rabbi Yochanan's comment would be a total non sequitur if what all Chizkiah was saying was that it doesn't have a lung, Legabe, the dinim of Nefula. So what's Rabbi Yochanan coming along and saying, no, it has a lung, I'll show you a lung. Oh, I made a mistake, there's no lung in here. No, no, that wasn't the page of the lung. I showed you the lung. Yeah, here's the lung. On page, I'm sorry, page 82.
What page?
Page 82. Yeah. Chicken hearted and chicken livered. So, Michlav Chizkiah served a left way. Apparently, Chizkiah holds that there's no lung. El Amri B'mar Rabbi, you know what they say in Eretz Yisrael about Chizkiah? Mishmeid Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Midvorav shel baribi nika sheno boki betana golim. He didn't eat chicken very much. Chizkiah, that seems rather clear. This is a joking way of saying, I don't know, we don't know what he's talking about. Omer Avun Omer Rav. Shmutas Yerach Ba'ok Shera. Now here, Rav is quoted as saying that Shmutas Yerach Ba'ok is Shera. Before, we had Rav Yud Omer Rav saying Shmutas Yerach Ba'ok is Shreifa. Amalei Rabba Barvina Ravuna. But our Rabbanan does to be Pumpadisa. But when the Rabbanan came from Pumpadisa, they quoted Rav Yudim Shmeid Rav saying that Shmutas Yerach Ba'of is Trefa, and you're saying it's Kasher. Amalei, so he said to him, my dear son, Nahara Nahara Upashbe. Every river has its own different tributaries. Some tributaries are nice, soft flowing. Other tributaries are white water tributaries. You can't, there's different places with different minhagim. Rav holds that it's kosher. In Pumbedisa, the minhag was that it was straight. So when they asked Rav in Pumbedisa, so what's the din of a Shmutas Yerach? He said, you're not allowed to eat it. Because their minhag was not to eat it, but it wasn't that he held that it was straight. Also Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba went and he found Rabbi Yirmer of Arava checking a tremes haginim. Amalei, what are you checking a tremes haginim? Lamalei lamakulei hai. Aravun amarav shmutas yerach ba'ok shera. He said that it's okay to eat a shmutas yerach ba'ok. If you have a shmutas yerach, then you've basically removed the tremes haginim. Because you're removing the entire thigh. So what are you looking at the tumas agidim, which is all the way at the bottom of the leg? So how, if the removal of the buka d'atma is kosher, so certainly there's no problem with the tumas agidim, no? Omar Lay said, I don't know. I mean, I'm a very simple man. I know it says, anamas nisi adana. It says, behema shenech kuragle minar kuva lamatek shera. Minarkuvala mala is psula. And then it adds, v'chein shenito tzemes agidim, that if the tzemes agidim was removed, that it's a trefa. V'omar Rav, and Rav himself said, on that, v'chein ba'oth, the same thing would be true about an oath. So I don't know what you're trying to tell me. That what? Because Rav holds that the buka, the atma, in a bird, and it's a polka that's been pulled out, but that's kosher, so therefore the tzemes agidim is also kosher if it's cut. I'm not so smart. I only know what Rob said about this. Oi, he said, if that's the case, then the Yachid Kasha the Rav by the Rav? Isn't that a problem then? Of Rav against Rav? This is what Rababa was timing to revere me of Rav. So, he was quiet. Nuki, you think he's a Kasha? No way. Ishtik didn't say anything. Then all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute. Maybe Rav holds there's a difference between the shmuta of the dislocation and the cutting through the tzemes agidim. Maybe the shmuta indeed is kosher. But the actual cut through the tzemes agidim is straight. Amalei, now you're thinking. V'yad mefarsh l'shmai say to Rav. What do you think? We need you to explain. It was a kasha. And here's the teretz. Rav said the ferish on Rav. Shmutak shirach atucha psula. That's what Rav said. A dislocation is kosher. Cutting through the tzemes agidim is possible. Ba'al detameh. What's bothering you? As we said before, you can't add to the logic of Trapez. It's the fact that you could cut something in one place and cut something in a place where you think is much less traumatic, and it ends up being much more traumatic. And this is our look on Trapez. You're opening up a can of worms. The Pashtus is, see, the pshat that I said is basically Tosfos saying that that's where we should learn the Gemara. For some reason, Rashi throws in the idea that Shmuta Kshera, he holds, B'Shmuta Kshera Afilu Nitla Kula. Tosfos is very bothered by what is that supposed to be talking about. Afilu Nitla Kula. Because there, Tzimachri is talking about an actual removal of the bukhdei adma, of the lay. And we don't use the same language; it's equivalent to bukhdei adma. So, I mean, the truth is that it seems that Rashi is coming to talk about even the cutting out, and that's why he says chotcha mikan v'chaya, chotcha mikan v'mesa. And it could be that that's what forces him into saying it, because otherwise, what do we need to throw that in for? If Rav is making a distinction between Stam Shmuta and Chatucha, so what do you need to say about the Tamei? That's not the issue. Okay, but in any event, that's your can of worms. You can look into it. Kisolik Reb Abba Ashkel Reb Zera. Actually, what happened over here was Reb Abba and Reb Zera were Chavrusas back in Bava. They had been planning Aliyah for some time. And Reb Zera got there first. So when Reb Abba caught up with him, he comes and he meets Reb Zera. So he says to him, Sholok Reb Abba Ashkel Reb Zera. The Yossi Bekomar, he finds Reb Zera teaching Omer Avun Omer Rab, which clearly was from his days back in Babel. He's quoting Rab. Shmutas Yerach Baof is Trefa. So Omar Lay, so Reb Abba says to Rabbi Zera, "Oh, chayed am I swear, that miyumet esulik mar lahaka, from the time that you moved from Babel and came up here to Eretz Yisrael, I had some opportunities to further my investigations of the Shmutas Yerach Ba'ov problem." By the way, Tosfos points out that the change in the language between Shmuta, which we said over here by the Behema also, talk about Shmutas Yad Bebeim instead of Deshof Biduchte. And he says the change in language is because the original language in the Shav Shmaitza was Rav Masna's language, because he held that you didn't need to be Yisachal Nive. So the ligaments could be intact, and he held it was still possible. That we were Deisha. Because remember we said before that Elu Cheres is Dafka Lafuke. We want it to be Lafuke Rav Masna. Elotrapus rather Dafka Lafuke Rav Masna. And therefore, what it's talking about over here is the Yisachal Nive. Where there we said it would come out that it was Trefa. Not like Rav Masna, but that there is a pagam of Bukhid Hapen Ashraf Meduchte, but it's only if it's truly Shmuta, which means that it's Yisachal Nive. That the tendency, it's about Locus Rashi, but it was a reference to the little piece that holds the actual ball joint in, or whether it's the ligaments on the outside of the bone. But in any event, a shmuta means a complete shmuta, whereas a shaf miduchte would be a dislocation that could easily be restored. Anyways, getting back to this. So Reb Abba says, I want you to know that from the time that you moved up to your third Yisrael, Havilon Pishchein Pek, I mean, we had an opportunity to discuss the halakha with Rav Huna directly, and we asked him, and he said to us that Shmutas Yerach Ba'ov is kosher, not Trefa, the way you're quoting Rav Huna Amar Rav. And I want you to know that we also found Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, who was sitting, and he was being bedek at Tzemes Hagidim. Now he tells him over the whole story. And they asked him, Lo Tzav L'Mahar Adam Rav Huna Amar Rav Shmutas Yerach Ba'ov Kshera. How come you are saying that it's, yeah, that you need to check the famous Hagidim? Didn't Rav say that a Shmutas Yerach was kosher? And he said to me, Well, Anna Masisi Adana Bahimashek Kraglemina Kurma Mat Shina Kurma Silva Khajnit Sanasagidim. He's repeating now the whole story that we just had a minute ago. And Rob said about that Mishnah of Nitot Semes Aginim Bechein Beot. And I asked him, aha! And so if that's the case, the Yochikasha, the Rabbi, the Rabbi, then we have a problem. And he was quiet. And then I said, ah! Yom HaShani Rabbi Shmuta Lechatucha. And he said back to me, ha 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 ha. You think you just figured that out? At the Pashta Shmaitse the Rabbi. Beferish Amarab Shmuta Kshirachatucha Psula. And this was the whole story over there. Nobody argued about the fact that I told him that that the din is Havi Amar Avun Amar Rav Shmuta Zerach Volch Sheira. He agreed with me 100%. And he explained even the difference between a Shmuta Zerach and a cut to the Tzemes Aginim. So you are working on old data, because you're quoting Rav as saying that a Shmutas Yerach is Trefa, then I got news for you. So tell me, anyway, in the interim, while I've been researching this problem back in Bavel, V'at Ma B'yatcha, I mean, what, any news here in Eretz Yisrael about this sugya? So he said, well, Ha'ochi Amar P'chia Barashi Amar Rav Shmutas Yerach both Trefa. I don't know. I mean, the further information I have is that it's Trefa. Although, on the other hand, I must tell you that Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said that although Rabbi Yochanan said that, if Rabbi Yochanan would have been in town when the Chaverim gave his Oirah and they said it was Mutter, I guarantee you he wouldn't have wiggled a feather, because he wouldn't have the nerve to wiggle a feather. Because Rebbe himself was quoted there, I dare him, I dare him. So Lo Parchis, he wouldn't have wiggled his wings. The Amar Rebbe, Chanin Amar Rebbe, he quoted Rebbe, he wouldn't have fought against that. Shmutas Yerach Ba'Of is kosher. As a matter of fact, Rebbe Chanina happened to have his own personal salt of Tarnagolet, which he kept. There's a Tarnagolet, I thought of Rebbe Chanina, Shanishita Yerach Shalah, it had a Shmutas Yerach. He brought that bird in front of Rebbe. Rebbe said it's mutter. Rebbe Chanina salted the bird, Molka Rebbe Chanina, and kept it as a specimen to teach his children, I mean his Talmidim. Boyamora Ba'alok with Talmidim. See this? Zehi dearly Rebbe. Zehi dearly Rebbe. This is it. The absolute authentic sack of Rebbe. And he would never have argued on that, but unfortunately, less Yilchzak to call Hanishmites. We don't ask it like anything, like any of these people. Elakahadashah, Rabbi Yosef Baradan Urayas, Rabbi Yosef Ben Levi. There were a couple of Shilas who asked Rabbi Yosef Ben Levi by Rabbi Yosef Ben Uray. Kigiras Kone Bekana. What's the shear of a hole through the Kone? And he said, I don't know what kind of question. It's a Mishnah. Mishnah Shleima Shaninu. Ad ki isar ha-yitalkina. We said it was an ad ki isar. It's missing tissue. It's not just a puncture. Omar lo, so he said, ah! Hallo Rachel achat aita b'shkunatenu. Well, we had a ewe in our neighborhood that had a hole through its kaneh, and what they did was they took a straw and they used a krumin shel kaneh, they used a reed to make an artificial trachea for it, and it worked just fine. V'chaita. Now, what are you going to say about that, huh? Omar lo v'aldat samit. But that's what you're gonna ask me the question. I got a better one for you. Halo halacha ravachat b'Yisrael. These words now are the raya that we're looking for. Halo halacha ravachat b'Yisrael shmutas yerach bov treifa. Everybody knows that a shmutas yerach is treif in a bird. Aha. Okay, that means that was the halacha lamaisa all over. Nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon Chalapta had a bird like that, and he made a prosthetic yerach for it, and it was nishtal yerach shlai. He went ahead and he used a reed. He used a reed to put this bird on crutches, basically, and it did fine. B'chaita, saying that's going to bother you. And the Mitzvah Klamemer, look, if you have to answer for yourself, you could always say it didn't survive the year or something like that, you know. So, Tok Yud Beis Chodesh Abi. No, the difference should be able to eat it, because if it was a drape, it shouldn't have done well. We'll see about that. So you're going to say, okay, but it didn't last 12 months. So maybe it too, it didn't last 12 months. You know what they say about Reb Shimon Bar Chalafta? He was too much of a big experimenter. I mean, they called him an Askin Bidvorim. They always used to experiment. You never take a thing on its face value. And he made this big experiment to prove Reb Yehuda, the Mishnah, wrong. Reb Yehuda says, if it loses its down, so then it's straight. Reb Shimon Bar Chalafta is ridiculous. So he had a chicken like that. Reb Yehuda says, Im nitla notza psula, v'tarnegola tektala l'Rabbi Shimon Bar Chalafta shem nitla notza shala. He had a chicken without any down. V'nicha b'tanur, he kept it in a nice warm oven area, you know, the afim pre-pitcha, and he kept it in there. V'tola l'abamatli shal tarsiyim, he covered it over with this leather apron that tarsiyim used. Of course, this whole shire, what a tarsiyim, Rashi means tarpin, chosheth to. Right, Tosfos was asked from the Sugya Megillah that Bikson Viserish, which they tarsim, that they were talking Balosh and Tarsi. I mean, if it's Tar and the Choshes, they had their own language for the Choshes. Must be it's a country, anyway. But in any event, the Kidlak and the Fayim Achronim Yotermin Arishonim. It did better the second time around with its new feathers than it did with the first. So how could you say it's a trade? No, what does that prove? I mean, do look at some Rebbe Yudah. Is it a trade with Mishabachas? We'll see later on, there's some who hold that a trefa could do even better after becoming a trefa. Come on, I mean, even if it's going to do well, it'll thrive. It's going to thrive in the very thing that made it a trefa in the first place. Which have even better feathers the second time around. That's not reasonable. Why'd they call him the great experimenter anyway? I mean, my ass comes about. He must have done something that got on people's nerves. What he did was he put Shlomo HaMelech to the test. Because Shlomo HaMelech says, go to the ant, you lazy bones. And what did you learn from the ant? Lecha nimalatzel, re'ed rachel bechachem. Learn from an ant, asher ein la katzin. It doesn't have a katzin, a shoter, a moshel. There's nobody giving orders to the ants.
The ants.
No orders are given to the ants. And nonetheless, tochin b'kayit lachma, it goes and it keeps working its proverbial hindquarters off and gathers together all kinds of food throughout the entire season to eat without orders, and you lazy bones sit around waiting for the end, doing nothing. So, Reb Shimon Bar Chalafta said, you know, let's see whether it's true. See whether an ant has to get orders. Maybe it's working under orders. So, I want to see whether this ant indeed work without orders. So what did he do? He thought up a brilliant experiment. Ants hate bright sunlight in the hot summer. At least they did around him. So Ozal b'tkufas Tammuz. So he goes out in the middle of the summer. Parsei leglimei hakina d'shum shaman. He spreads out his clothing above an ant hole so that it looks nice and shady. Kina is a khan, king. Ants in Aramaic are from shamanis. Yeah. Maybe, or maybe because they get all over the place. They're mimashmesh. And nafak asachad b'nei. Now one ant comes around, looks around with a periscope, comes out, exactly, to do recon. Is it a bright day or is it not? Now, Reb Shimon Bar Chalafta immediately marks this ant so he can check what happens to it. So, itnach beisimana, he sprays a little spray paint on this ant, now he's going to know what happens to this ant. Now, obviously, the ant goes back into the hole. I mean, we assume he must have told the other ants that it's a nice shady day outside, because immediately afterwards, all the ants come pouring out. Right? So he goes back in, all Amarlo, and he tells all the other ants, not Faltula, it's turned into a nice shady day. So not Kuvioso, they all come out. At that point, Dalia Leglime, he takes away his clothes, and they're now it's boiling hot out there, they're all miserable. And it finds out that the guy that they sent to do recon, instead of looking a little bit further to see whether some guy's playing a joke, he just figured it must be a day, and he comes back in. That's the kind of job he does. So Nuflo Aleva Kotle, they murdered him on the spot. They
voted him out of office.
he was dead. So he said, Rabbi Shimon, Shmamina Letzlu Malka. Apparently, indeed, they don't work with a king. Because if they had a king, they'd have to go to the king to get permission. They can't just kill a guy on the spot. Where's Ganesh called it? So the Letzlu Amana de Malka, lowly boy, I understand. If they would have had a king, wouldn't they have had to get permission from the king? I mean, you can't. There's got to be some justice in the world. Amalei Rabak, Breda Rabbe Ravashi. What does that stand? What does that prove? Dima Malkavi about that? Maybe the king was there. Or maybe they're standing orders to kill any recons that don't do their job properly. Or maybe it was an interregnum. Maybe the king had died. They hadn't appointed a new king yet. Maybe Bein Malka Lamalka says by Amima Eimei Melech Yisrael Isha Yoshevei Novyan. So there was a complete social breakdown. They were running a democratic anthill. So maybe it was just anarchists that had killed this guy.
This guy must have such a ball writing this stuff.
They don't have a sense of humor. Ella Smoke, I am Nusa de Shlomo. But yeah, you're not going to get enough data out of your experiment anyway. But I guarantee you, you might as well just rely on Shlomo in the first place. And they called him from then on an Atzmi. It's interesting. That's a very interesting question, because there was the whole night of the Talmud with Rabbi Yochanan. Remember that he came back and he said, Rebbe, Drosh, Lachon, Eli, Drosh, I saw that you were right. And then he said, so you need to see that I'm right. You're Malak, like I'll never call me the guy. Turns into a pile of bones. So how come, why is it this even worse? So Tosha says, he was trying to show exactly how it was that Shlomo knew that Ein Lakatzin, it wasn't that he was malagli. However, I have what I think is a better term. Exactly. Excellent.
That's it.
Shlomo said, go see. They have to go see. Look at that. The more he sees it himself, the bigger an impact of it happened. Excellent. Good. Get to use the Gemara. Omer Ravuna, Simen the Trefa Yud Beis Chedesh. You can rely, if you have a Suffolk Trefa, if something lives for 12 months, said it wasn't a Trefa. They said, how could Ravuna say that Yud Beis Chedesh? Here it says, Simen the Trefa Koshe Eina Yerledes. Which it points out, though, doesn't mean the lack of leda is a simon of treifa. What it's trying to say is, if it's your leda, it's clearly not a treifa. There's plenty of reasons not to be your leda, but if it is your leda, so that's a simon of treifa. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, a treifa could be mishabachas, and v'olecha, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, a mishabachas v'olecha says yodoshi kshira. A misnamna olakas yadua she treifa. So Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that a treifa is never mishabaka. So if it's going downhill and it's a suffic treifa, then you have to assume it's a treifa. Whereas Rebbe says simon treifa shloshim yom, 30 days. Nobody says a year. Omer lov alo harbe miskamish tayim v'shalei shani. Plenty of treifas live for 2 or 3 years. So where's Ravuna come up saying a year? Nobody said that over here. Actually, it's about Chlokis Tanoi. He was relying on a different price. The Tanya, the price, he says, "Begugola sheishpa neke v'chad arog, afilu nekavim harbei mitzartim l'molei magdeya." We had before. Remember the Chisora in the city of Chisora, the Chisora in Begugola, the Kavmichidu said the sheer lagabe tuma, which is equivalent lagabe an organism. The sheer lagabe tuma is the shear of a brain surgeon's drill. So what about if there's a lot of small holes or a long, thin hole? So the total area of the surgeon's drill would be the shear of the psoriasis in the skull. So Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam said, I don't see how you could say that. Maisa Be'inbo, it was a case in our town, where a guy, his skull was broken, and they made him an artificial skull out of a pumpkin shell. What else, of course? That's all the elements of Halloween right there. He did perfectly well with his pumpkin prosthesis. Siona was outraged at this. Omala Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Shom Raya. Yeah, I can call it Raya. Yemot HaChama, yeah, that was during the summer. As soon as it cooled down, the guy dropped dead. The Kimon Jehovah love Yemot HaTzina, me had me. So you see,
chill on the rain.
It's, this is basically, it means he has to survive the whole year, get all of the variations in the year. This is what he was being samech on when he said Yud Beis Chedesh. Omer Vachaba Yaakov, Aloka Trefa Yoledet to Mishabachas. Actually, Aloka is Trefa can have children. Trefa can do even better than it was doing before. Omer Amema, Ani Bey the Trefa. If you have now a bird that lays, it's a Trefa, it lays eggs. Shichla Kama Asira, the first bunch of eggs that it lays are considered to be trefa because they were nitrifa along with the chicken while they were still meat of the chicken, developing in the chicken.
Okay. It's trefa and it comes out of being trefa, it stays trefa.
Which case are you talking about?
Just the case I'm talking about now.
No, that's Suffolk trefa.
Suffolk trefa.
That, according to Man Yomar holds. No. The Man Yomar holds you can give birth in better holds you can't test the Suffolk trefa with that. It doesn't prove anything. It can still be a trefa and still have children and it can still be Mishabakas.
So
the other Man Yomar holds.
It's going to die because of the trefa.
No. See, all trefa for you?
Once it's called trefa, it's
forever
a trefa.
A trefa.
Even if it lives.
Yeah. So it's all lost and it's a trefa. It doesn't matter how well it's doing. We'll see. We'll see. It is, actually. He's going over here, Quinta Maniorma, says, you'll let us. So, that's the first shichla, so the first load of eggs that were developing in the body at the time that it became a trefa, also became trefa.
How long after the trefa?
It's birds doesn't take very long. That day. We can't pay left, but anything from that time on. So then, assuming that these eggs were fertilized, it's a zevezegorim. The eggs are stimulated by the male, and therefore it's a zevezegorim, so it's mutter, because only the female portion was trefa, for the male portion wasn't. Eishe Ravashi l'ramemar, so Ravashi asked the memar, how can you say that? If, even though we'll see later on, there's a machlokes between Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbonim about what's the din of a mammal that gives birth if the mother is a trefa, everybody is made when it comes to eggs of a bird that it's definitely trefa if the mother was a trefa. Veshavim bebeitas trefa shasura mivnei shegad lo beisur, because the whole egg is seen basically as the ovum of the mother. And therefore, it's all mother, so you're not eating. This is the Gemara, well, of course. Also, but it's Safana Miara. There it's talking about unfertilized eggs. Safana Miara means heated from the ground. In other words, we view a stimulation of egg laying that comes without a male as being warmed, so to speak, from the earth to lay an egg. And there, of course, it's Kulo, the mother. It's not Zevezegorim. Wait a minute, why didn't we just answer that there it's talking about B'shich L'kama? It's talking about the eggs that were there at the time that it became a trefa, that they would both be modem. No, because the language doesn't make sense. It says over there, the Lashon is that it's Godla. Let's try to Godla. If they should Godla B'Yisur, it should have said they should Gamra B'Yisur. Godla B'Yisur implies that the entire time it was there growing Be'isrus. Obviously, it couldn't be the Sheikh Lakama. It means that it was there from the beginning Be'isrus. So wait a second. So Elohadatan, now that you're saying that the Machloket, but it says that they're made in the Be'isrus Trefa, that it's a reference to Dafka, a Safara Miara, where there was no male involved. You're not happy today. It's like your whole Avodah is simple. It's happening. If you're not happy, I'm going to be miserable. So then that means that you're holding that what's the machlokas, therefore, between Rav Eliezer and Rabbanan? When you're saying they're made, it's because it's not a Zev HaZegarin. But where they're arguing where it is Zev HaZegarin. What then would the machlokas be? Whether Zev HaZegarin is mutter or asur. I mean, that's what you're basically saying. By answering it in this way, correct? And you're telling me, why are they both made? They're both made because it's a Safana Miara and there's no male. So it's all female that you're eating, which is straight. But if there would be a male involved, like in the mammal, we're over there, it's Zev HaZegarin. So then Enoch Inami, that's the Machlokas, whether Zev HaZegarin is Mutter or Asur. So how do you explain then the following price, which should say to Tanya, Vlad Trefa, if you have a child of a Trefa mother, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Lo Yikarev L'Gabi Mizbeach, can't bring it on the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Yoshua says, you can. Now, what are they arguing on? Obviously, the way you're explaining it is they have to be arguing about first it's being trafe, then it's getting pregnant. Now we have an issue as to whether Zev HaZegarin. Because that's how you're learning the questions. Not that it was pregnant then, became a trafe, then that is certainly no good. So, B'shenikrafal of Esov Yibra. And Rabbi Eliezer, you're saying, oh, Zev HaZegarin is Asur. And that's why you can't bring it on the Mizbeach. And the Rebbe Yoshua is holding Zev HaZegarin is Mutter. Well, if that's how you're learning it, my friend, what the heck does it have to do with the Mizbeach? Why don't you just ask whether you can eat it or not? But you're bringing in a Mizbeach, you should say. Is it kosher? Is it not kosher? I mean, isn't that the obvious thing to discuss? So if that's the case, Yachya had a Mifli L'Gavoa. Instead of arguing about what it's doing on the Mizbeach, Mifli Golahedya, why can't you question whether it's kosher to eat? That's because we want you to know that according to Rabbi Yoshua, who says it's mutter, Lodiach HaKochod Rabbi Yoshua, that feels like a Gavoa Namishar. He wants you to know it's mutter even for the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, why not tell me the other way? To be Modiach means that it's trafe even not for the Beis HaMikdash. Mitlego Lehedyot, Lodiach HaKochod Rabbi Eliezer. Tell me, look how clear Rabbi Eliezer is. He's willing to answer it, I feel that Yod Nami answer. Because it never proves anything to answer things. Every time they can Harry can answer things. Go out there, Tera Adi. If obviously you want to show somebody is great, you got to show he's master things, not he answers things. So therefore, we want to bring you the Keach of Rebbe Yoshua. Of course, if you want to go further, we could even go further. You want to do tomorrow's daf tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right.